Because
I'd rather do it the other way. Tell me what I can forget.
Well, the reason I bring it up is that after the 2018 season, there were plenty of things that we just kind of let drift into the ether.
Sure.
Because
the failure of the offense?
Because there was a flashpoint moment that everyone could grab onto. One of the things that I'm not going to let people forget is the kicking situation is bad. And even though he hit 12 in a row, go back to they wouldn't let him kick.
Look at the kicks they refused to try.
It's like 1 over 40.
And that's what will tell you that they don't believe in him. And I know that it's relative to the league and it's a bad kicking league right now. I get that. But let's not forget that there were moments in games where Matt Nagy was like, nah, 48 in perfect conditions. Nah, we're not going to do that. We're going to go for it on 4th and 8 and 4th and 9 instead of sending the kicker that we trust out there. That's not to say that Pinheiro cannot be developed and that there isn't some positivity that should be taken from him with these makes.
Right.
But let's not forget that things were not great for most of the season with him.
You know what happens there? I mean, when you don't get those down and distances converted, then you're putting your defense back into a bad position and you're asking more out of that thing than you already have. I'd like to put one down, a suggestion then for the list. This popped up into my head when we were talking with Rich Campbell just a couple of minutes ago. The Bradley Sowell experiment matters. They took a guy, and I know he didn't matter, and even in their best laid plans, he wasn't going to be a real difference maker. But they took a flyer on a guy at their worst position and said, well, this'll work.
We'll give him a roster spot.
We'll see what happens here. You wasted a precious roster spot. One that could have been, I don't know, a fullback just to start.
Or a real tight end.
No, we couldn't have been that. That wasn't going to happen. But just to be so self-assured at that position.
How about
with
the
that
Mike
guy
Davis
on a
signing?
Flyer there.
Don't
Mike
forget
Davis
that
thing
either.
Matters too. But the Bradley South, it's not his fault.
I mean, and we could go all the way back to the Jordan Howard thing. I know people don't like to, but guess what? Their numbers were exactly the same. And you traded capital that you could have used in another area instead of trading up to get a running back that you already had.
When you add up all of those things, it truly means they thought they had it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is. That is all of that evidence.
Mike
adds
Davis
up.
Was a luxury item.
Yep.
And they thought that they had a lot of stuff, and they didn't. I mean, obviously they didn't, and we're going to spend an offseason talking about all the mistakes that they made. I am interested to see what they say, and I heard you guys talking a little bit with Mully and Hall this morning that the action is more important than the words.
Yeah.
But I do think that for the forward face of the franchise, to be honest with the fan base is important. I get that they default to, well, we're going to be glass half full type. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But if that doesn't allow you to be truthful in your evaluation and then to be truthful with your fan base as much as you can without giving away anything that's going to put you at some sort of disadvantage.
Why can't they do what Theo Epstein does?
Why can't they,
where he sits down, he's like, all right, fire away. Let's go. As many questions as you have, as long as I need to sit here. And they don't have a PR flag. Say, well, two more. That's it. One more. Now we're done. And try to cut it all off or try to filibuster the way out of there. Do what Theo Epstein does when you sit down and say, you go ahead. I can handle any of it.
I do think that it is a cultural problem in the NFL. I think in most sports, it's an issue, but it is particularly bad in the NFL. Everyone thinks that they are working with state secrets.
Yeah, I'll even give John Paxson credit. That when he sits down, I mean, sometimes it is prickly, sometimes it's contentious, but he'll stay there until you're out of questions.
Yes, I agree with you, and I think basketball is a place where the NBA in particular, and even college basketball, you're going to get more honest answers, and I agree with you. I wish that the Bears were at a place where they could be as open as what we see, but I would also argue that I don't think that the leadership of the Bears is as smart as the leadership of the Cubs or as smart as the leadership of the White Sox is. That's where I think the problem is.
Well, if you're looking at just education, that's just a fact.
Well, I'm just talking about in their ability to be able to relate information. Mm. We'll see if Ryan Pace has improved at it. I don't know how he has because he doesn't do it all the time. And I think what they did from an organizational standpoint was real slick too. Let's do this thing on New Year's Eve. Let's have that dump into New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. It's very slick by them to pull that off.
And to do it quickly. You know, the fact that they won't have 3-4 days and a Today Show interview and all this other crap going on before they sit down to talk means, like we talked about with Rich, that they get to go, we're going to talk about that. We're absolutely, no, it's a little, it's fresh.
Guys, we haven't had a chance to really review the film.
We had expectations.
These are good questions, and these are decisions that we're all going to have to make, and that's completely fair of you to ask.
That's a play that a lot of teams go to, and not just in the NFL, to do things quick. I mean, you'll get it with managers all the time in baseball. Like, wow, you know, how is Chris Bryant? What? That's the next thing I'm doing. That's where I'm headed after this. I'm going to go check with the doctors. I'm headed right the next thing I'm doing after I talk with you, I'm going to check on him. Well, thanks, pal. That doesn't do much for anybody who wants to know.
You're listening to WSER and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. There are people who are texting and saying, listen, Theo is a rarity. You're right, but is Rick Hahn? Is he a rarity? Because we have two really bright front people for the baseball teams.
But that's two scenarios. This is one is the capability of doing it the way they do it. The other is emulating something you're already seeing. Just the blueprints out there.
Yes.
Do it like this.
But I will say that I do think that it's something that is woven into football culture.
Oh, absolutely. I 100% agree with you.
Everyone thinks that they're a secret spy, and we can't let them know what we really think. The toughest guys that play the toughest sports, they feel that those guys have to be babies.
Well, what they need to understand is tomorrow, even though they are doing it at a time and place where there's going to be fewer sets of eyes and ears on them. Look, they got us cashing in a day off to come in tomorrow. Neither one of us was supposed to work, but we're working tomorrow.
I'm glad you guys are going to be here. Dan, I'm really glad that you're going to be here tomorrow, that you'll be here to do that live.
Yeah, I want to get, because they need to understand that coming off a season like this, coming off this big a disappointment, there is a responsibility to explain to the fans. There is a responsibility to get across at least an awareness that you saw what we saw.
Yep.
That's critical.
It is. So these guys will be here tomorrow, 9 a.m. The Bears press conference is at 9:30. You will be able to hear it here on The Score. The top of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Nebraska, Iowa, Ohio State, Michigan, and Purdue. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now in usports.com. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and test drive the Hyundai Palisade today. Dan, Connor, thank you. I'll see you both tomorrow. Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
Wani's one of the only, because Dave's a big, like, you don't realize it, but he's a big dude. Hamp, you try a drink with Hamp, it can be a problem.
Yeah, but I mean, even we were at the release party for Pat Manley for his long snapper IPA. Yeah. I've had beers with him on a couple of occasions. He can just drink a beer so easily and quickly. It's like I'm swallowing a pill, like with a sip of water, is how he takes down a 16-ounce pint. It's incredible what that
so
guy
much
can
do. Admire, right?
It's honestly, it's admirable, and it just totally unshook by any of it. Doesn't get tipsy at all. Totally sober. But yeah, it's that athlete tolerance, man.
Well, Hamp used to joke that it was like Yogi and Boo Boo.
Why don't you make like a bear, Boo Boo, and go hibernate somewhere?
Like, because we kind of look like when we're together, we look like Yogi and Boo Boo. And he's like, "Well, you're the smart one, and I'm the clever one." I'm like,
Boo-boo.
"That works for me." But imagine those two guys trying to have a drink together.
All right, this is it. All that can spare them, lend me your ears.
Make me a bicycle clown.
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, here with you until 2 o'clock today. We have a lot of stuff to get to on today's show, including the Bears and the end of their 2019 season. We're going to talk with Matt Forte at 1 o'clock. He was nice enough to join me, even though he's out of town. Joe Madden is going to be on the show today. He's going to join me at 12:40. I'm excited to talk with the new manager of the Angels about all sorts of stuff. I don't know even how much baseball we'll talk, but Joe wanted to be on the show, and I was like, yeah, that would be fine, Joe. You should come and hang out with us at 12:40. But I wanted to spend at least a good 30 minutes talking about the Bears. The crew, by the way, Rick Camp, Herb Lawrence, you'll hear their voices throughout the show. I would like to get into what happened yesterday, what happens next, what happens tomorrow, and what are some of the bigger issues with this team going forward. Looking at where things stand with the Bears and them going 8-8 on the season, it doesn't feel like an 8-8 season because expectations were really high. And those are things that they're going to have to square. If there was one big picture observation that I can make about the 2019 Bears, I don't think they handled success very well. I don't think organizationally they handled it very well. We'll see how they handle a lack of success, and we'll hear from Ryan Pace tomorrow at 9:30, and you'll be able to hear that thing on the Score. Over, like, even some of the small stuff, like, I laughed out loud when the writers gave Allen Robinson the Good Guy Award, because when things got really bad, he was at Twitter shooting at anybody that wanted it, which is fine. That's totally fine too. I just think that it was indicative of what some of those guys were dealing with throughout the season and didn't handle well. The on the field stuff that they didn't handle well. Can I talk to you about this offense for a second? And then I'm going to talk to you about your quarterback so that we can make things really plain and clear. The offense this year for Matt Nagy ranked 29th in points scored. 29th. There are 32 teams. 17.5 points per game. And it's a trend that began, if you go back to Mitch getting hurt in the Vikings game, the trend started around week 11 of the 2018 season. If you look at what they were yards per play, the goal is 5.5. Talking to NFL people, that's where you want to be, yards per play. The Bears were 4.7 yards per play, which ranked them 31st. They're actually decent in time of possession. But then we start talking about what they did in the red zone. And I will say that yesterday, from an offensive standpoint, it was a microcosm of who they were, what their identity was throughout the season this past season. They could march a little bit offensively and make a play or two here or there. And then they would get to the red zone and they would not cash in on touchdowns. They would end up in situations where they needed to kick field goals or would go for it on fourth down because they didn't trust their kicker in 40 and above situations. And keep that in mind and keep that in your back pocket as the postseason goes on. I was laughing last night because I was getting super excited, just as someone who loves watching football. That game was fun last night. It was a don't turn the channel fun, but I'm also looking at two teams that run the ball effectively and at the top of their conference. Watching San Francisco and what they do with run formations is football pornographic. It's that good. And then you look on the other side of the playoffs, at the top of the AFC, you have a team that rushed for almost 3,300 yards. The idea that you can't play winning football by running it is crazy to me. And it's been crazy to me. And I hope that Matt Nagy is honest about some of the failings of his offense. From every position group, except for receiver and specifically Allen Robinson, you have a real disaster. The tight end position was a disaster for the Bears this year because they couldn't find anyone consistently to play the position. And then when you have to dig all the way down, you have to drill all the way down to guys on your practice squad for a glimmer of hope that someone can play that position. That's not good. On the offensive line, look at what happened throughout this season. The desperation of making the switch from Cody Whitehair, from James Daniels to Cody Whitehair, after you had gone above and beyond in your talking about how good you thought James Daniels was going to be and why you made the change in the first place. And then you ended up making a change because the quarterback felt more comfortable with Whitehair. And you probably needed someone who had more experience in calling out some of the defensive plays because your quarterback wasn't good enough to do it on his own. The running back position. David Montgomery was fine. He was fine. And for those of us who didn't understand the reason why they felt the need to move on from Jordan Howard, it's because of what you ended up seeing. If you look at Jordan Howard's numbers from last year and David Montgomery's with touches, it is almost exactly the same. And what you could have done is that you could have drafted David Montgomery. You could have kept Jordan Howard. And you then wouldn't have spent anything on Mike Davis, who then didn't, like, weren't the Seahawks looking for running backs? They went and got Marshawn Lynch and Turbin. So you have all of these breakdowns in each position of the offense where Anthony Miller, while I think made some extraordinary plays, and I think that he's a really exciting player, didn't show you the type of real consistency that you want to see. He's tough, he's flashy, and he sometimes comes a little unglued. And then we can start talking about the quarterback. Now that we have all of those things laid out, that those things that you are going to say about Mitch, well, what about the offensive line? Yes, all of those things are true. He didn't have consistent weapons on the outside other than Allen Robinson. He didn't have a consistent run game because of some of the issues with the run game and his head coach. And his offensive line was not very good. Still, let's try to look clear-eyed at what the quarterback did this year. 63.2% completions for Mitchell Trubisky. And you're like, well, 63%, that's not that bad. Do you know where that ranks him? That ranks him near the bottom of the league for starting quarterbacks with completions. 3,188 yards. Yeah, he and Jay Cutler are the only two guys supposed back-to-back 3,000-yard seasons. That's not good. That's not a good thing. Because it's barely over 3,000 yards, and you know where that ranks him? Near the bottom of the league. 17 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. It's not terrible. It's not terrible, but it's also not good. How about passer rating? A rating of 83. 83. There, I did it for you. When you look at the guys that he's ranked 37th, by the way, in passer rating. Here are the guys that are behind him in passer rating. Mason Rudolph, Kyle Allen, Baker Mayfield, Andy Dalton. Okay, well, wait. Passer rating doesn't take into account what Mitch can do with his legs, and he can do a lot of good stuff with his legs, right? Fine. Let's go to QBR. Mitch's QBR this year's total QBR was 40.6. You know where that ranks him? Fourth from the bottom in the NFL. So, yes, there are mitigating circumstances. There are things outside of his control. But if we've learned nothing this year, we should have learned that he's not good enough to elevate. that if nothing else, you should have learned by now that he doesn't have it within him to make the rest of this stuff better. You look at what Matt Nagy's play card looks like now.